Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Hi everybody, it is so great to have you here. I hope that you are enjoying the service so far this morning, and it's just brilliant to be able to come together again on a Sunday in the middle of this flipping lockdown and be able to encourage ourselves with the Word of God. And wherever you're tuning in from this morning, whether you're in Bangor, Ballymena, or somewhere even further away, and I just want to say I am so glad that you are with us this morning, and I hope you're ready to receive a word. I hope that you are sitting there on your sofa or wherever you are waiting for the word to come, because when the Word of God comes into your life, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is life and health to those who receive it. And so I'm praying this morning for you that you'll receive life, you'll receive health as you are sitting here this morning eating on the finished work of Jesus and just feeding yourself really well. And today, I want us to receive faith this morning for our lives. I want you to receive faith this morning for where you're at and for what your situation is. You know, and not just for you, but for the people who are around you today. There are lots of situations going on right now. I mean, even in our own church family, never mind out there. And things pressing in on people, challenges, difficulties, heartache, pain, all the rest of it. I mean, these days that we live in, it's almost like, wasn't it Dickens who said it? They're the best of times and the worst of times. It's like almost simultaneously together. Like you have stuff which is really great and stuff which is really challenging. And so I want to bring a word right into the middle of that for you today. And it's a word that I believe it's been on my heart now I'm not going to see, you know, people will say, oh, I've just been thinking about this since forever in the Lord. No, it's just about 10 days, actually. I felt the Lord speak to me about 10 days ago, and I've just reflected on it a wee bit. And so I'm calling today, Hope Against All Odds. And I kind of chuckle to myself, because whenever I hear against all, what do you hear whenever you hear against all odds? I hear Phil Collins singing. Remember that song? You all remember that? It was fantastic. I have Cool Goes Quiet. When you were a kid and you used to send in your wee requests for the love of your life and will you play this? And you know, so every time if you're hearing Phil Collins in your head right now, just pray and Jesus will take him away, because that's not going to be helpful. But there's these loads of verses, right, that I've been dwelling on for these days, because I believe this morning that whatever is going on in your life, this is a day to receive hope. I believe, and I'm going to talk about that today. In Psalm 27, 1-2, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I mean, these are the promises that we have, right, that are written over your life today. Like, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. So whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when we hear these promises time and time and time again, okay, the Lord writes those promises for a number of express purposes. And for you today, it's like, I don't want you to live disconnected from what the Word says and what Jesus actually wants to do in your life. So the worst place to be, right, is where we hear stuff like that. You know, the Lord, whom shall I be afraid of? The Lord is my strength. Of who shall I be afraid? And then we walk out to do life, and life can just be really tough. You know, life can be amazing, and it can be incredibly tough all at the same time. You know, I know for me, I know that's like, you know, it kind of, if I'm really honest with you, it's kind of the way that I live. And I want to live more as an overcomer. That is absolutely true. But it's like I'm simultaneously walking through some stuff which I'd rather not be walking through or having to face or having to deal with, whether it's internally or externally, it doesn't really matter. And then at other times feeling like this is just fantastic. It doesn't get any better. Do you understand? Hopefully you do understand what I'm talking about, but I think most of us do. You know, tomorrow, the 22nd of February, is our son, Ben. He's our firstborn. It's his 17th birthday tomorrow, so you can give him a big happy birthday, Ben Toogood, because it's our big boy, 17th, tomorrow. Now, 17, of those of you who know, is the number of victory in the Bible, and I am believing for Ben that in his life this year, that he's going to experience a new level of living like an overcomer, and he's going to see victory in his life this year. I believe that. But anyone who knows our story knows that there was a time when we never thought that we would have a big son who's going to be turning 17. In fact, it wasn't just that Penny and I, you know, did we believe all the time, but in fact, many of the people around us never actually thought that it would happen. And you know, when I think about that, and then I think about our journey, even Penny and I, what it's been like to plant a church in Belfast and journey through some of the most devastating and painful times, if I'm really honest, that I could possibly ever have imagined. Betrayal, slander, attack, suspicion, lies, judgment, gossip, all the rest of it. And you know what? That was from the Christians. That wasn't even from the way the people in the world, they're meant to be the ones who are half crazy. That was from the Christians, the ones who walk closest with you. And, absolutely. But to keep going week after week, month after month, year after year, even when I've looked around and other leaders have just given up or moved on, other lay people, they give up, they spin off or whatever, you know, and just that thing of keeping going. And then like 10 days ago, as you know, when Heather Gilliland passed away, I was actually sitting in the, you know, I was facing the Gilliland family when I was actually taking the funeral, because during that funeral service, we sat behind where the pulpit was, or the lectern as it was. And I was sitting there and, you know, I was just looking at the family there. And as they were grieving and we were grieving together, what was going through my head was, Lord, what do we do in times like this? What am I going to say to this family, to Ivan and to the boy? I mean, and you know, as I sat there, honestly, and this is when the Lord really started to speak to me, he said, Andrew, you know, when you think about your own situation all those years ago, waiting for your family, everything you've walked through just to try to establish somewhere in Belfast, in Ireland, where people can hear the undiluted, unmerited favor of Jesus, not mixed in with religion or form, but just Jesus alone, all right? And the same thing that you have relied on and thought on and dwelt on that has kept you going to this day, that's what I want you to say. And you know what it is? I was sitting thinking, and it's Psalm 27, 13. This is my verse for today. And if you've never read the Psalm, it's a beautiful experience. It sums it up for me. I would have lost heart, this is David, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And as I read that verse over again, it sort of just summed up the whole deal for me. And that's why I'm here talking to you this morning. That's why I'm here and the guys are here putting this together for you, so that, you know, you can know this morning that you will see the goodness and the favor of God himself in the land of the living. It is our hope that we will be in heaven, of course, one day. But you know what? I would have lost heart. I have had, I feel like, a million opportunities to lose heart. And it's not even just about walking away, although there's times I felt like that. But it's for those of us who don't walk away, that even what's worse, I think, is when we dumb it right down, okay? And we just start to reduce our whole expectation and experience of Jesus to nothing more than, don't get your head up. I'm going to talk about that, because I want to minister to you today, because where there's no hope, there you lose heart. And that's why I believe in grace. That's why I believe as a church and, you know, a building my own life and my family's life around Jesus and his finished work. There's a guy called Chuck Swindoll, who I read this quote many years ago, and it makes perfect sense to me today. He says, if you take away our hope, okay, our world is reduced to something between depression and despair. So when we don't have hope, we lose heart. But the word says that you will not lose heart if you believe what? That you can do it, that someday your ship will come in, like, you know, fingers crossed. No, you believe in the goodness of God. And you, therefore, your heart burns with hope that you're going to walk in goodness. I'm praying that over somebody today. I'm praying that over somebody today who's listening to me, and you feel like your hope has gone. You feel like your hope has dropped. You feel like when you look at your future, you don't have an expectation of anything other than more of the same, and will it ever change? You know, our hope this morning is only rooted in the grace of Jesus. If our hope, or if your hope, depends on anything other than the unmerited favor of Jesus, then you and I are both in trouble. But I want to encourage you today to not lose hope. And not just about not losing hope, but also don't dumb down your expectation of Jesus because of the weight of circumstances that maybe surround you. That vision that we have here at Exchange in 2021 of shalom peace in your life, right? Why do I believe the Lord is putting that word into you? Because it's about letting hope rise in you, okay? To believe again that your best days are still to come. Do I get an amen this morning? If you're listening to me and you're already feeling encouraged and you can feel the presence of the Lord saying, yes, I'm gonna lift up my head, lift up my heart to believe that today, tomorrow, and the day, my best days are in front of me. And I'm not gonna lose heart. I'm gonna believe in the goodness of God. No matter what has happened, no matter what I have walked through, no matter what was done to me or no matter what I did, I believe today in this moment, Lord, I received that word that I will not lose heart because I'm gonna believe in your goodness, in your favor. Now, I hope that's encouraging you because, you know, we use this word hope in about three different ways. I was thinking about it this week. So the word hope in ordinary English vocabulary is generally, it's distinguished from certainty. It's different from certainty. We would say things like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope that it does. I hope it doesn't rain, as an example. So hope, when we think about it, is the desire. There's something in you, the desire for something good to happen in the future. Actually, we use hope in three different ways, three different senses. First of all, there's a desire for something good in the future, right? The thing in the future that we desire and the basis or the reason for thinking that our desire may indeed be fulfilled. But the distinct biblical meaning of hope is different. Now, you actually find all of those three uses in the Bible, the way I'm describing hope there. But the most important feature of biblical hope is not present in any one of those ordinary uses that I've just described for the word hope. In fact, the distinctive meaning of hope in Scripture is almost the opposite of our ordinary usage. Now, what I don't mean is that in Scripture, hope is a desire for something bad, right? Okay, instead of something good. When I say opposite, I don't mean that. And I don't mean that when you look at the Bible, hope is like the rejection of good instead of the desire for it. It's not opposite in that sense. It's opposite in this sense. Ordinarily, when you and I use the word hope, we express uncertainty rather than certainty. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so normally when we describe hope, it's actually going, we're not sure about this. We're not certain of this. And it's almost, I hope that it will happen and there's no certainty attached. It's almost like a wish. So like my kids might say, like the girls probably, might say like, I hope daddy gets home early tonight, right? You know, and what does that mean? Well, that means that they don't actually have any certainty that daddy will be home for 5:30. All right, or I'll get home on time. But they're expressing a desire that I get home on time. You know, I might say, you know, particularly when like Penny's out in the car on her own, you know, I hope that Penny will arrive safely, all right? And she's gonna kill me for that, but that's the truth. You know, sometimes, you know, there's a couple of times last year before lockdown where she was driving up to the Northwest and like really early in the morning in the winter. And so I was up early and, you know, like checking in to make sure that she had arrived safely. And, you know, I hope that Penny will arrive safely. What I actually meant was, you know, I don't know if she will or not, but my desire is that she arrives really safely. You know, or you might say like, you know, you've heard, you might have been involved in something. It's almost like a good tailwind. You know, if we get a good wind at our backs, you know, that's our only hope of getting this done, you know? And what that actually means is a good wind at our backs would bring us to where we need to go, but we can't be sure that we're gonna get one, that things will go our way. So normally when we use the word hope, we're expressing uncertainty, but this is not what you have today. There's a distinctive biblical meaning of hope. And the main thing I want to do this morning is to show you from Scripture that biblical hope is not just the desire for something good in your future, but rather the hope that Jesus puts in you today is a confident expectation and the desire for something good in the future. You know what religion will tell you? Sometimes our desire to see goodness and favor and blessing in our lives, like dumb that down, who do you think you are? You can't believe for that kind of stuff. Sometimes that's what we're told. But that desire is God-given. The desire for wholeness and health in your life, the desire to be prospered and to be blessed, to be safe and to be secure, to have peace in your mind, peace in your body, to know every day that you're surrounded by the God of heaven who is looking after you and going before you, that desire is God put in you. Don't ever, ever let anyone extinguish that in you. Don't let anyone with a religious mindset come to you and say, no, you can believe this much, but not too much more. Okay? Because biblical hope is not just the desire for something good in the future. It is coupled with the expectation, the confidence, and the trust that it will happen. Now, this is not pie in the sky. This is what David's talking about. I would have lost heart. I know this morning. Do you know what that's like? I mean, if you do, give us a thumbs up in the chat this morning. Go, I know what that's like. I know what it would have been like day after day if I didn't think that my best days were still to come, that God still was for me, that his work in my life was not finished, that tomorrow I could believe this against all the odds of my own performance and the circumstances around me, that he was still committed to my very best, to walking me into the fullness of his work, I would have given up. There would have been no point. But that's what the Lord says. You know, you believe in the goodness of God and that you're going to see it. Not just hear about it. Not just watch it in somebody's life. But I'm speaking to somebody today who's going, I don't know whether I'm going to see it. And the Lord says, no, don't lose heart. Believe in grace and you will see my goodness in these days. So it's not just about, you know, desire. But it's this confidence that when God says a promise in our life, it's going to happen. There is a certainty that the good that we expect and the desire that we have will be done and will be fulfilled. Do you know what? It actually goes beyond that too. Biblical hope is not a mere desire, like as I've said, for something to happen. It's this confident expectation and desire. So there's this confidence, this expectation, this certainty built into what David is telling us. When the word says hope in God, it doesn't mean cross your fingers, all right? Actually, a guy called William Carey said this. It's not about crossing your fingers and hoping with a fair wind at your back. William Carey says it actually means expect great things from God. What are you expecting today? What are you believing for? What are you standing on? What pictures of faith are you allowing the Lord to paint in your mind? When you start to believe for something beyond where you are today, where you start to see yourself in that place of rest and fulfillment in the Lord, does the enemy come and try to snatch it from you? Do you start to make excuses and go, well, I could never do that, or that's not going to be my 2021? Do you kind of go, well, you know, maybe that might happen? Or do you go, actually, Lord, if you're putting that in my head and in my heart, and I believe it's from you, and I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to be confident that you're going to walk me into it. You know, we see this like through the whole word. Let me teach you a little bit this morning, okay? Let's look at the words that are used in the Bible for hope. In Psalm 33:22, it says, let your mercy, Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. In Psalm 130 verse 7, it says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Now, this word here is yachal, okay? It's a Hebrew word, and it means trust and confidence. So if I go back to Psalm 130, it goes, so put your trust and your confidence in the Lord, not in yourself, not in your performance, not in the economy, not in what the politicians are doing. Put that utter deep confidence, that need in your heart, put it in the Lord, because there you'll find mercy. In Psalm 30, there's another word for hope though. In Psalm 39:7, we read this one. And now it says, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Okay, this is a word called tochelet, okay? And so a different word, but it means expectation, all right? Expectation. If you think about that, we all live with stuff in our heads, don't we? Some of it helpful, some of it not. And you might have an empty head this morning, but normally we have stuff that goes on, right? And expectation is that kind of, that picture that we have and that we paint in our heads. And we kind of go, I think, you know, I this is what I would like to see, or this is what will happen. And so that's tachaleth. So as I'm waiting on the Lord, resting, falling back into the arms of grace, like I described last week, I'm expecting, I have an anticipation that God is going to show me mercy and goodness. In the New Testament, the word is elpis, and it means to expect anticipate with pleasure, or have this strong, confident expectation. Church, I believe in 2021, countercultural, counter the spirit of the age today. Like right now, if you're listening to me, this is what the Lord is speaking. He's saying, lift up your heads and look where your help comes from. It's God himself, the maker of heaven and earth, God eternal, the one who's the Aleph and the Taf, the beginning and the end. And he's saying, put your trust in me. Don't look to the left or right. Have a confident expectation of my grace in your life. Don't dumb it down. Don't take on other people's stuff. Don't discount yourself because of your own lack of performance or whatever, but come and have a confident expectation that I am the one who holds you. I am the God of grace. My unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor is yours because of Jesus today. And because of that, it lifts your head up off yourself and straight onto the eyes of the one who loves you. And he will not let you down. Let me tell you this, Hebrews 6, it says that God, 16:19, God has also bound himself with an oath so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure. That's you and me. We've received the promise of Jesus. You could be perfectly, completely sure that God will never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because, listen to me, it's impossible for God to lie. If Jesus is God revealed as the one who heals, it's impossible for that to be a lie today. Do you know that? If God says, I am your provider, it's impossible for him to lie. So what do we do when we know that he is sure and he is certain? So we flee to him for refuge. And as we flee to him for refuge, it says here, we can have great confidence. Why? Because we're not running to ourselves or running to our bosses or running to our bank balances. We're not running to our education or our reputation. We're not running to the opinions of others. Where our confidence is running to the arms of the one who is unshakable, unmovable, and when he said it, it will never change over your life, no matter what comes your way. That's a good word, isn't it? I'm preaching myself happy here, folks, this morning. I don't know about you guys. Are you guys feeling encouraged? Yeah? How's it going there on the chat? Are people feeling encouraged this morning? Yeah, I think so. Okay, so this hope that we have is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, if that's what hope is, what do you put hope in? What do you set your hope on? The word helps you with that this morning. 1 Peter 1:13 says this, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love this. Set your confidence, set your trust, set everything, every desire, set it fully, not in part, not holding back a little, not, set it fully on the undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor of God. And that where do you get that is when Jesus is revealed to you. That's why we preach grace. That's why this morning you're listening to, 10 steps to glory and 5 steps to this, but just Jesus revealed. Because you set your, when I had that kind of growing revelation in my life, particularly over leading a church, you kind of go, if my hope is not in Jesus, like fully on Jesus. So many times in the journey of even doing exchange where, honest to goodness, like back against the wall, personally, corporately, whatever. And honestly, just fully, at times I remember walking home from here in the afternoons going, Jesus, if you're around and you're hearing me, I am chucking it all right now at your feet because I have nothing else. I am fully relying that you are faithful to your word. And if you started it, you're going to finish it. If you started it, you're going to hold it and sustain it. You're going to feed it. And I have nothing else other than to do that. And so that's what hope is. It's like, if you want to know what will give you hope, it's a revelation of Jesus. Okay? As Jesus is revealed, you see grace. You see his work. And then you put your hope in there. Does that make sense to you this morning? Is that helping you this morning? Because when you read the word hope in the Bible, it's not wishful thinking. It's not, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope that it does. That's absolutely not what is meant here by hope. Hope You listen to me. Hope is when God has promised that something is going to happen and you respond in trust in that promise. Our hope is a confidence that something is going to come to pass because God promised that it will come to pass. That's all about Jesus and his grace. That's why we put our hope in grace. Our hope is not our ability, but his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor in our lives. I know even for many believers, that's a difficult message to grasp. It's like, you know, it's almost like this sense of we want to believe, don't we? But we dare not get our hopes up. Have you ever been told that this morning? I'm going to speak right across some lies that have been spoken into people's lives this morning. And I believe that they are lies, no matter how well-intentioned they were. You know, there were many times that I was told that it is better to lower my expectations than to have to deal with my disappointment or somebody else's disappointment if what we were believing for did not come to pass. Do you understand what that means? So, like, we celebrate Ben today and tomorrow. The big league is 17, right? Hard to believe, all right? And, you know, I can remember in that those years of waiting, I can count on one hand, actually, the number of people who would say to us, keep believing, right? I remember when I was understanding that journey of Jesus as healer and absolutely refusing to accept anything else other than Jesus from the very beginning wants you to be well. Now, those are bold statements, okay? Those are big statements. Those might cut across your own experience or your own religion or your own theology. But what we cannot do, and I'll come to that, but what I had to stand on was as Jesus was revealing, it was being revealed to me, okay? And I started to see deeper and more clearly into his grace, right? Then I couldn't help but want to believe, you know, because you can, to believe more of God, right? But I was told lower your expectations and certainly don't tell other people what you think, all right? Because it's too hard to have to deal with stuff when it doesn't happen. Now, look, I understand that. And in one way, it sounds safe. In one way, it sounds like it's protecting. In one way, it sounds right, but it's not faith. And it's wrong. I'm going to say that clearly. Think for a moment about all the amazing stories. I was thinking about this week, right? Think about all those amazing stories of faith in the Bible that you and I read, hopefully every day for inspiration, right? Or every other day, or whenever you read the Bible, okay? Every other day with Jesus and all that. Get into the Word every day. It'll feed you. You'll actually be better for it. Now, can you imagine any one of them? Can you imagine David facing Goliath, right? Joshua at Jericho, Moses crossing the Red Sea. How would those stories that we have read, if we place them into the don't get your hopes up mentality? So imagine the Lord going along to Joshua and going, hey, no, because the Lord commands him, be strong and courageous, okay? You're going to lead the people. You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to take Jericho, go to Ai. You're going to inherit this land. Now, can you imagine for one minute, if we opened the Bibles, our Bibles, and the story was, and the Lord came to Joshua and went, now watch yourself, all right? There's big giants over there. I don't know if you've had a look, but you'd need to be half crazy to go and have a look. Listen, I'll do my best, but what you'd be better doing is maybe just, you know, having a rattle, but don't be really expecting that you're going to get across. Imagine David going to Goliath, you know? I just find it amazing going into the valley, seeing Goliath, big lump of a fella, and, you know, he's going to have to get stuck into him, and like he's got all this stuff from the Lord, and then the Lord comes along and goes, here, have you seen the size of that brute? You need to wise up, okay? You could probably have a go, but what might be better, David, is if you just do what everyone else has done and just be like the rest of Israel. Stand at the side and just look, but don't dare have a go at him. Are you getting the point? There is not one story in the Bible of anyone who did anything great with God, who achieved anything, who had a don't get your hopes up mentality. Why? Because hope in the Bible has always been confident expectation of his ability in us, not our ability to make it happen. Now listen to me this morning. The enemy will tell you the lie that you can believe to a level but not too much. But I think, you know, it may even come from well-meaning, God-fearing people. I call that broken hope, and I'm going to explain that to you right now. Let me talk about what broken hope means. Now, you don't need to live very long to know something of the hopelessness, that kind of desolating sense that some bit of your life will never be fixed. It's not that your whole life is rubbish, but there's something that will never be, ever be whole and complete. Now remember, I'm speaking over you a year of shalom this year, a year of completeness and wholeness. But you know that sort of, that sense where we've dumbed it down to go, you know, yes, Lord, I trust you, but this thing's never going to change. You know how desolating that can be? For many of us in day to day, you know, like, it's almost like brokenness has turned us from that boast. You know that boast where we go, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible with you, God. And over time, as we lose heart, there's a weariness that can set in where it's like, nothing's impossible. Actually, nothing's ever going to change. Now, you might not ever voice it out loud, but many of us have come to expect that God won't actually answer prayer. Never mind all those days that I, you know, which says in Isaiah 64:1, rend the heavens, Lord, and come down and all that stuff. You know, those days have gone. Actually, you even say this, people get older. What they do is they call it experience. And they say, actually, with my experience, I have people, you know, sitting, you know, looking down the nose of their glasses at me, quite frankly, at times going, you know, basically when you grow up, what you'll understand is that my way, it's almost like my experience trumps the God of heaven. My experience is more important than what Jesus and his word says. And who are you to think differently, Andre? Right? Now, it might be sickness. We've dealt with death in our own exchange family over this last 10 days, death and loss. It could be a broken marriage or a broken ministry. But no matter what you do in this particular area, you're facing something that just seems impossible. You know, it might just be you have a broken soul. Right? But you're broken on the inside. And like, it's almost like darkness has driven the light out from you. Now, in the wreckage of that kind of brokenness, you know, I think what happens if we're not careful, we feel justified in adopting a hopeless view of our life or that situation. And like I said, we might even call hopelessness realism or experience. Can I just tell you, the Bible's full of that. We can actually go to the word for encouragement. The Bible's full of realists, cynical characters, and it is cynicism. Cynicism is a killer of hope. And I believe cynicism is at the root of religious thinking. I believe that cynicism, you know, that kind of sneering where people will sneer at those who believe for more, and it's almost like it kills hope. But, you know, there's loads of it in the Bible. So even if you've had this as your own experience, you know, there's Sarah's, you know, who laugh at God's promise. Remember, she did that. What about Elijah? It does amazing stuff, but he only had eyes to see God's enemies. What about the Thomases of the world who just resigned themselves to death? Okay? More than that, though, the people of God, you know, we're not cynical people. We see that in the Bible, but the Lord always sets against that people who have confident expectation against all odds, because you and I, do you know what we are called for? We're not called for cynical living. We're not called for that kind of realism, that, you know, hopelessness masked as realism. We are called as a people of hope. That's who you are today. You are a man and a woman of hope. You know, we're the kind of people who lock eyes with the world's fundamental brokenness in us and around us. We lock eyes with it, we size it up from head to toe, and we then step into the ring to bring the fullness and the favor of God and to see lives and destinies and eternities change forever. Do I get an amen on that? Step into the ring full of hope. We read about this, right, in Romans 4. Abraham looks at his barren wife, and it says, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. You know, in Ruth 1:16, you see that Ruth turns her eyes. So this is what God's people are called for. So every time you have a Sarah who laughs at the promise of God, Abraham looks at it and goes, actually, you know what? I am against all the odds. I am going to believe that I am going to become a father of many nations. In Ruth 1:16, you see that Ruth, and she doesn't get cynical when her husband dies, but she turns her eyes from her dead husband and looks at a new country and tells Naomi, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. What about Habakkuk? You know, that favorite character of the Bible that all of you know inside out, right? He basically saw Babylonian hordes coming, okay? Bit of a bad picture, but they were coming to destroy his people. But he still sings, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Micah in Micah 7, time after time, you know, we see these men and women, ordinary just like you and me, but called by God and having confidence that they would see God's goodness. Micah says, you know, he's almost collapsing under the weight of his own sin, but still he boasts, when I fall, this is Micah 7:8, take this first down, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Isn't that cool? Every time I screw it up, every time I'm wallowing in stuff, every time I'm in darkness, the Lord's going to be a light to me. Each one of those people knew what it was like to stand sort of neck deep into brokenness. They felt that tension between the promise of God and seemingly hopeless circumstances around them. And yet, they still chose to hope that God could give life to the dead, as it says in Romans 4:17, and call into existence those things that do not exist. By faith, we're told, they banished despair and they held on to the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, it says in Hebrews 11:1, of things not seen. In other words, they were people who saw reality. See this realism? Here's what I believe. I believe hope, biblical hope, actually sees reality as it really is. That's the difference. Because when the Lord said it, when the Lord promised it over your life, when the Lord made that promise to you, his promise and his oath, which are unchangeable, unbreakable, when he said it, that trumps anything else. Do I get an amen? What about you guys here and the media team? They're getting saved at the background. It's unbelievable. There's revival here. It's funny. And I can't see them because of the pillar of glory and the cloud. If you're watching this morning, I'm totally joking. Just having a bit of a laugh with you. So today, what the Lord says is, set your hope fully on my grace for you. Okay? No half measures today. No holding back. The greatest risk, I honestly think, for us today in 2021, in the middle of all this stuff, is for you and I not to trust God, you know, and not to believe God for too much. I think that, you know, it's bonkers to me. Why would we reduce, listen to me, why would we reduce the God of the universe, the God of all eternity, the Aleph and the Taf, the beginning and the end, all powerful, almighty, eternal God, why would you and I in these days simply reduce that incredible Jesus who loves you to the level of our own human understanding and our personal experience? I say no way to that living anymore. I say no way to that in our church. We're not going to live like functional atheists, folks. You know, and this thing of setting yourself fully onto grace, you know what that means? That doesn't mean, well, sometimes we go, hold on to hope. I want to say no to that today. You don't hold on to hope. Hope is holding on to you. His name is Jesus. That's what it means to set your mind fully on grace. It's not you making an effort going, I'm going to hope. It's like I said last week, I'm going to sink back, Psalm 46:10, and fall into the arms of grace. And that's what it means to set our hope in grace. It's not that I grip my teeth and I hold on and I try with my best effort. It's that I fully relax. I stand firm, remember, and I fall into grace. I fall and let those arms of grace surround me. And, you know, so this, I'm holding on to hope. There's a song's and all about that. No, you're not. He's holding on to you. So I need to go quick. Are you feeling encouraged? You know, get onto that chat there and just let us know if the Lord's blessing you this morning. And if you feel that the Spirit of the Lord just exciting you a bit and going, yes, I'm going to believe for that again. Amen. That's what the Lord's doing. So how do we build our hope in God? Let me just finish this off. I've got about a couple of minutes. So hope is a portion or a part of faith. Faith and hope, to my mind anyway, they're kind of like overlapping realities. Hope, and if this helps you, like hope is almost like faith in the future tense. So most of our faith, our confidence, and our expectation is hope. It's future, right? Does that make sense? The Bible says that in Romans 10, 17. Where, how do we build hope? Faith. So, you know, if we believe that that expectation, that confidence and that trust is normally like, it's faith in the future tense. Where does that faith come from? When the word tells us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So this implies to us that hope, just like faith, is also strengthened by the word of grace. Hope comes from like reading and digesting those very precious promises that he has for you, those brilliant, great, big promises, and looking not just at the promise, but the one who is the promise keeper and the one who provides them. I would sum it all like up like this. You know, probably, you know, anyone who knows me knows I love the book of Romans, Paul's masterpiece of grace. You know, so how do you build hope? Well, Romans 8:32 says this. He who didn't, talking about God the Father, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That last bit for me is so hope producing, but it's grounded in that rock solid statement. God didn't spare his son, his own son. So the essence of what we look to in scripture to build our hope is this, right? If God didn't spare his very own son, then there is absolutely nothing that he's going to spare in your life. When we look to the Bible to build our hope, okay, what we come to is, what has Jesus done for me? When I was at my worst and when I'm at my worst, what helps me to know that I'm not going to come into judgment, I'm not going to come into condemnation, I'm not going to come into badness in my life, but actually all things are working together right now for my good? And you know what the answer is? Romans 8:32. Jesus died for me. Jesus came for me. He died for me. He rose again for me. So therefore, all of the promises of God are yes in him. I put my faith, my trust, fully into the grace of God that comes at the revelation of Jesus. So our hope then, let me just, this is my last point. My hope then is not this morning, you know, it doesn't blindfold itself to reality. Do you know what I mean? It's, for me, and I want you to hear this, that thing of reality and realism, it's like, it's not blindfolded to that, but you know what it does? It looks at a sealed tomb, okay? And instead of going, the story's over, it says the story's not done yet. Do you get me? That's hope. It looks at that which is impossible and goes, the story's not finished. Listen to me this morning, your story is not finished. We do not deny the circumstances that confront us, but let's deny them that place of authority in our lives. Let's look to Jesus. Let's look to the promises and hold fast to them. Hope comes from the promises of God rooted in the work of Jesus. That's what it says in 1 Peter. Remember, that's why we are preaching grace upon grace every week in your life. I want to just say this. We may at times experience sorrow, and we have done that, certainly over this last 10 days. At times we'll be burdened. At times we may feel like we're broken. At times we're definitely going to be beaten up on. But we will never be, and if this is you, if you go, but I will never be a cynic or part of a cynical people, because I am called to be a person of hope. Amen. So let me just read that verse to you again. Meditated on it this week. Meditate on it. That's quite hard to say. Meditate on it this week. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's hope. Amen.